up in Washington, we had... All right, let's start then. I'd like to welcome everyone out tonight to our city council meeting, November 23rd, 2021, 6:30 regular meeting. We'll start tonight. Justin will lead us in the pledge, and Kevin will offer the opening prayer.
Please repeat the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I guess I'm gonna have to start doing it.
Yeah, you need to.
Heavenly Father, we pause and bow our heads before thee this evening at the city council meeting, and in this time of Thanksgiving, Father, we have much to be thankful for as a community. Thankful for the many freedoms and blessings that we enjoy by living in this rural community and in this valley. So Father, we are thankful, and we've received much moisture this fall. It's really, really helped our situation. Now, Heavenly Father, as we look back on the year, we feel like we've made many good accomplishments and have much to be grateful for in our water situation, and just many things to be thankful for, both as a community and as individuals that live here. So Father, this night we would ask thy spirit to be with us as we ponder some of the needs and some of the responsibilities we have as a city, and as we prepare for celebrations, we pray that we can have them coordinated and that we can go through them without harm or accident. We pray, Father, that our valley will be able to work through the pandemic that's been plaguing the whole world at this time. And we feel like we've made good strides, and we live in a safe place, and we're thankful for that. Pray that those who are struggling and suffering will be comforted and be blessed to be able to mend and get back on their feet. So, Father, this evening we recognize our many blessings and give thee thanks for all that thou dost for us. Express our love to thee and thy Son, and do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Roll call.
Justin.
Hey.
Kevin.
Yes.
Mike.
Here.
Russell.
Here.
Rondi.
Here.
And Sam.
Here.
Okay, next on our agenda is claim approval of claims. Claim register dated 11-6 of 2021 to 11-22 of 21, dollar amount of $79,937.48.
It's not a very good one.
Our power bill's not better, that's why. That's the one we have, our bigger ones. Yeah.
You say you must not have any engineering on there.
I think there is one from St. Mary's.
Yeah, there is supposed to be a trail.
We're wrapping things to everything else.
There's some engineering on there.
Is there? I was just...
A trail.
All for that.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say, because I've signed that, I know, so it's someplace.
For the study.
Yeah.
I know I should have asked about this earlier, but this shop for the cop expense, is that a contribution that the city makes to that effort, the countywide effort?
So we actually got a pass-through small grant, if you will, then we're turning that over to EFO in conjunction with us.
Uh-huh.
So we got that money now, we're passing out to
you. You know what they took from what the big old tire is, or the girl's tire sales force?
Police department.
Yeah, police department.
I thought we quit using them because they were double billing us.
I don't know where Big O's getting at or not.
Well, it's Bro's.
Oh,
Bro's.
Right.
The problem we used to have, bill us and we'd pay them, then they'd turn around and say that was the wrong bill and then charge us more money and rebill us. And they did that how many times?
I couldn't change the last numbers.
So I would just use caution.
Okay.
Is all I'm saying, because they did that out, they did that when the police was taking their cars over there to get service. Quite a few different charges they were doing that way.
Okay. We have tires, that's about the only place there is in town now to go.
Well, and to get service, they usually get you in and out the same day for most things, but they've been good with that.
They do have different, a little bit different management over there now.
Yeah, maybe they've changed, I'm not knocking them, I'm just saying that.
One of the worst daughter-in-laws now that's kind of running things, seems like.
Maybe.
She's been pretty sharp.
Didn't need Boy, you didn't need Boy running?
Yeah, but I think, no, he hasn't been there for a long time.
Tech, or not Tech, what's his name?
There's been a girl there that seems to be on the ball pretty well.
They may not change their buildings.
They're having a hard time like everybody else finding good employees.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to approve the invoice register from November 6th of 2021 to November 22nd of 2021. $79,937.48.
Second, I guess.
Russ? Yeah, the motion by Justin, second by Russell to approve claim register dated 11/6/2021 to 11/22/21 for the dollar amount of $79,937.48. Roll call.
Justin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rodney?
Yes.
And Sam?
Yes.
All right. Requisition 11-2220-210848. Vendor is Irby. Looks like some one-off wire, $3,050.
Yeah, this is just to make sure we have some on stock. One-off primary underground wire. Get a lot of cans. Yeah.
Order it now and hope you can get it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be here. Quick word.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion. We approve requisition 11-2220-210842 for some one hot wire in the amount of $3,050.
Okay, I have a motion by Russell, second by Kevin to approve requisition 11-2220-210842. To Irby for some one-off wire, dollar amount of $3,050. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rodney.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Next requisition, 11-2220210848 to Annixter for some 615 kVA pole transformers, dollar amount of $7,350.
Yeah, same thing, kind of replenish our stock. They did promise us when they got some in that they put those six aside for us, so that's what we're doing.
Okay, the small ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the poles, yeah.
On the pole?
Yeah, yeah. But they won't be here till February too, so. So I'll have to make sure that we don't pay on such a double
pay.
Yeah, stuff like that, so. But yeah, right now transformers are 2 years out, so we're trying to do what we can.
Sickening.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve requisition number 11-2220210848 for the six of the 15 kVA pole transformers for the amount of $7,350 to Annixter.
So,
Okay, I have a motion by Rondi and seconded by Justin to approve requisition 11-22-2021-0848 to Anixter for six pole transformers, dollar amount of $7,350. I better reword, yeah, that's right. Okay, roll call.
Justin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes. Thanks, Shane. All right, next is the out of travel for two firemen to go look at the specs on the fire truck.
Didn't we talk about this last time?
We did, but we didn't have it as an official item.
Just formality.
Yep.
Unless there's more discussion, I'll make the motion to be approved.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion by Justin and seconded by Russell to approve the out-of-state travel for the two firemen to go look at the specs on the new fire truck. That's like December 3rd and 4th, right, or something like that?
First through the 3rd.
Let's do a little call on this one.
Auto placement, it is.
Yeah.
Money involved.
Yep, okay.
There's no money involved.
Comes out of the truck.
Everything's paid for.
Let's go ahead and do a roll call then.
Just do it out of state, maybe.
Yeah. Let's just do it, go ahead and do a roll call on it.
Justin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Just cover her butt. All right, next, John Hartley, city auditor. Yeah.
I don't think you want to stay for auditor.
We're moving you up in the, putting you up there so you don't have to stay.
I hope you brought socks for everybody.
I forgot.
Socks. That's an inside joke.
It's not a bribery now, is it, Justin?
Yeah, and you wouldn't have nobody ever seen them.
That's not salt. You think I'm gonna add on here? I could argue to that point. I'm jealous of you though. I like the alligator or ostrich.
Ostrich, yeah. Full coil ostrich right there.
Yep.
Goes for a good deal. I should have won my elephant once. Not to be bossy, but stand out there. Like to look us down here. Yeah, I knew you'd somewhere else.
It's kind of for the people in the audience to consider.
Yeah, it's good to know people. See, in Oregon, they outlaw, you can't sell exotic skins anymore.
Can't sell dog what?
Exotic skins. So I got a down pair, $7,000 pair of boots for $150.
Wow.
Best boots I've ever owned. You can't even scuff them because the elephant hide is so tough.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, they're nice.
Wow.
Anyway. Side note. All right. Prepare to be excited. Okay, I'm going to go over our opinions, what's covered in our opinion, what's not covered in our opinion, what we actually think opinion on, and then we'll go over the findings. And then just a couple of things that are kind of hot issues right now with the state, just for your FYI. All right, page one of the bound copy, auditor's report. Pretty standard, it doesn't change much every year. Just remember that the financial statements are the city's responsibility, financial records. Our responsibility is to take the records and audit the balances and make sure that they're materially correct. The scope of our audit is directly related to your financial reporting. So a lot of people get the misconception that we're coming in looking for fraud and things like that. We do look at your internal controls. If we do see things that we think are, you know, maybe out of the ordinary, we investigate further, but that's not our primary focus. Our primary focus is your financial statements. So the first opinion we give is on your financial statements, and it's in the bottom paragraph. And it's an unqualified or an unmodified opinion. That just means that there were no issues that would cause us to modify or change from a good opinion. So an unmodified or an unqualified is a good opinion. That means that the financial statements that are presented are materially correct. All right, so next paragraph on page two, top paragraph. There are a couple sections, so management discussion analysis that immediately follows this report.
on page three, and then there's a section right after the notes called required supplementary information that has your budget information and information related to the URS pensions. Those do not fall under the opinion. They're not part of the basic financial statements. However, GASB says that they are supposed to accompany the financial statements to give it more readability and more understandability. So I guess to explain that further, if you want to read what's contained in the financial statements, the management's discussion analysis is a good place to start. That's kind of the Reader's Digest version instead of getting lost in the weeds of all the numbers. It's a high level, more dialogue compared to last year information. But that does not fall under our opinion, nor does the required supplementary information at the end. And then the very last section of the financial statements is the combining statements. So that's considered supplementary information. That is information that you've chosen as a city to present in the financial statements that isn't required to be there. It does fall under the opinion, but it's more of an in relation opinion to the financial statements. So we're not giving an opinion specifically on those funds. All of the non-major funds have a total column, and that gets transposed to the financial statements in its own column. So that's where the opinion lies. All right. You want to flip the page 57? This is the report we're required to issue for the government auditing standard. Because you are a government, we do have different procedures that we do in our audit. A lot of those revolve around budget compliance, how you budget the money, how you spend the money. We look for, you know, fraud, waste, and abuse. We look at those things. And we also look at your internal controls. Not to give an opinion on your internal controls, but we have to make sure that you, A, have internal controls in place, and B, that they're actually functioning. So if you have an audit committee, but they never meet, then yeah, you have the control, but it's not working. The reason why we look at your internal controls is because when we're doing our test work, if we find an area where your controls are maybe a little bit less than they should be, then we have to increase our testing to get to the same level of assurance. But if we do walkthroughs and we find out that you have really good controls, then our procedures go back to down to the normal level of what we look at. And if there's anything that's a material weakness, which is something that is a control deficiency or multiple control deficiencies, that pretty much guarantee it that you're not going to be able to tell if the financial statements have a mistake or Dave, during the course of putting everything together, then that's something that we would have to address and, you know, address with the city and say, you know, this actually needs to get fixed. If we catch it as the auditors, then that's usually saying that you as a city aren't knowledgeable enough to read and understand the financial statements and make sure that they're accurate. Somebody could commit fraud, you could misrepresent your financial statements, so you overstate your revenue or you understate your liabilities. So to the outside world, you look better than you really are, and then we come in and we make, you know, have you make corrections to make them materially correct. That's a material weakness. But we didn't find anything of that nature that we would have to report. All right, page 59. This is the report for the state auditors. You can see indented there in the center of the page the areas that we were required to look at: budgetary compliance, fund balance, justice courts, restricted taxes, fraud risk assessment, government fees. And I'll come back to a couple of these. We do give an opinion on your compliance as it relates to these specific compliance areas. And our opinion is that you were materially correct in your compliance. That being said, there were no instances of non-compliance that we were required to report. So not only was there not anything material, but there were no issues that we would report as a finding either. All right, if you want to turn to the Staple Together page, just a couple of things I'm required to go through with you. Close our audit. I know this gets repetitive every year. Just remember that there's estimates in the financial statements, and over time those estimates can change. We do try to identify all the estimates in the financial statements and make sure that they're consistent over time and that there's not large fluctuations of financial data. It's really hard when you have estimates that swing up and down every year, and you look back to try to make future decisions And you really don't have comparative data because if your estimates are causing your financials to go up and down, so you really don't have a true picture of where you're at. So we try to identify any estimates in the financial statements and just make sure that they're being treated the same every year and there's consistency so that you don't have those big swings of data. Difficulties in performing the audit, we didn't have any difficulties. All the information that we requested, we got almost immediately. Your staff does a great job, and you know, with the staff and with Polaris, it's usually within a matter of hours we get information. So that makes me feel really good when I get reports from staff that, you know, they're not waiting on information. You know, I just had a sit-down meeting with my staff today to find out what audits were still outstanding, and oh, I'm still waiting for this, and you know, it's been like 3 months, and it gets really frustrating, and it actually makes me a little concerned of, okay, why can you not provide that information immediately? Are you trying to recreate the information? Are you trying to manipulate the information? Do you not have the information? All of those are control efficiencies that then I start to get a little bit worried, but nothing of that nature occurred here. There were no uncorrected misstatements, no disagreements with management, management representation. So we get a letter signed by Dave, I believe the mayor signed it. It's kind of a full disclosure letter to us that you've been forthcoming with any and all information that we've requested. So a lot of things are that you're in compliance with any debt agreements, that you're in compliance with your federal grants, if you have any litigation that's ongoing that we've been made aware of that litigation, because if there's a potential liability for the city, then we have to know and we kind of have to assess that, whether or not it has to be disclosed in the financial statements. You're not aware of any fraud that you have been made us aware of. So really just a full disclosure letter that when I'm reviewing the audit work papers and the financial statements and I'm looking at our opinion, I can feel comfortable that we have all the information we need in order to provide that opinion. Consultations with other accountants, if there is something that arises, either a disagreement on an accounting principle, if there's a new principle that comes out, or a treatment, the way you're handling your books, if we disagree and management wants to keep it the same, they can go out and talk to a third party auditor or CPA and get their opinion. The only thing that we request is that we also have access to that same third party so that all three of us can get together, we can present our information and then come to a consensus and then move on with the audit. Let's see, we talked about the rest of it already. So findings, no control findings and no state compliance finding this year. I think that's 2 years in a row. So good on your staff. Just a couple of things that I've been talking to the councils about. A couple of the hot items right now. Fraud risk assessment, we talked about that last year. It's something that for the foreseeable future you're going to have to do every year. You kind of know my stance on it. My recommendation is you are involved as a council in reviewing that questionnaire, going through it, knowing what the controls are, what they're talking about. If you mark no to anything, talk about it with management and say, is there a way that we can mark yes next year? What can we do to improve? If we can't mark yes, what are some controls that we can put in place that mitigate the risk of not being able to put yes? My frustration with that is it's a yes or no. So you're going to get points if you mark yes, you're not going to get points if you mark no. There's nowhere to say, if you don't have a complete separation of duties, you have to mark no and you don't get points. Well, you have other controls in place because you really have two or three people in that office. You can't separate all the duties, but there's controls in place that mitigate the risk of having a small staff. So there's nowhere on there to really explain, and I've had hours and hours of conversations with the state auditor's office on that. My gut feeling is they're going to stop doing it probably in the near future. I don't think it's doing what they intended it to do. And I don't think they're going about it the right way. Really, the key is to get you to talk about internal controls. Mount Pleasant City is different than Fairview City, and you're different than Salt Lake City, and you're different than Sanpete County. So every entity is different, and you have different risks based on who your staff are, what education level they have. Your education level, do you have a financial background as a council? All of those things, whether positive or negative, have an effect and present risks to the city that you have to address and identify. And then if you find a need of, okay, we need to put a control in place, implement it. And if you feel like, okay, well, we've changed staff and we don't have that risk anymore, then, you know, maybe that control can go away. So it's just, it's an ongoing thing. It's a never-ending thing. The other thing that's a hot item right now is government fees. This is a new one that we're required to test this year. The state auditors came up with this. They say that they're concerned that local governments are implementing fees to generate revenue for the general fund, really to replace taxes. And if you do that, then you have taxation without representation. So I understand the principle behind it. Do I think that it's affecting most local governments? No, I think this is more of a university thing. And where the state auditor's office audits the universities, that's where they're seeing most of the problems. What I will tell you as really my counsel is anytime you implement a fee, make sure that there's a service attached to that so that whoever pays that fee needs to get something in return for that fee that they paid. For example, I'll give you a good example and a bad example. A good example would be if you implement parking out here, pay for parking, and if I come down, I have to pay $2 an hour to park, then I'm getting something in return in having to pay for that parking spot. And if Kevin comes down to the city offices and he's here all day, and then he's got to pay $16, and I have to pay $2 because I'm here for an hour, then it's proportionate, and that's good. If we both had to pay $10 and I was only here an hour, then I'm paying for something that I didn't get in return. That's not okay. And a bad example would be, this would be more of a university, but there is a university in the state of Utah, and this is, I think, what is driving this whole thing, is every student that enrolls in that institution has to pay $50 for study abroad. Well, most universities have 20,000-30,000 students. I don't know what the number is now, but I'm assuming it's around there. And if you pay, and if they generate $50 per student, that's a lot of money that they can put in their general fund, but only about 1% of the students actually go study abroad. So everybody's having to pay a fee, but only a small percentage is using that. That's not a correct fee. So just recommendation, anytime you implement a fee, just make sure that there's a service attached to it and that it's proportionate to the amount of service that person is using that service. Okay, any questions? Concerns? Amigos?
It's a lot to digest in 5 minutes.
Yep.
I thought I'd seen a page in here, though, that talked about, or that actually showed fees, but I couldn't see it. When I first went through it, I thought I'd seen one filled out, but maybe not. On that federal fees or something.
There's impact fees, but not okay. Not any. Not your fee structure is not in here.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
we didn't see a problem with any of the fees that you look at. And it's funny because they want us to look at your general fund fees. They don't want us to look at enterprise fund fees, but I think they're all the same. If you're setting a fee, it's got to be for a service.
Right.
As far as end of the year, I mean, the city, you know, I'm not going to judge whether or not you're in a good position. You guys can judge that or not. I will tell you that all of the funds have positive net income this year except for two, and that was the perpetual care, which, you know, depending on how many people put into it in the year, that's your revenue. And then, you know, obviously the expenses are going to be to care for the cemetery, so you really have no control over that. The only other fund that had a negative income was the sewer fund, and the majority of that was depreciation. So anyway, all the other funds had a positive fund balance. So
good. Well, any questions? Just the fact that you come down and look things over, look over their internal controls and so forth. But that
sounds,
I don't know, that speaks volumes to me.
Everything's
in compliance as far as the controls and so forth.
Yep. And you know, if there are concerns, reach out and talk to me. I'm available all the time. Love to talk to you guys. If there are concerns that come up, I know that we've come down before and done specific control. I mean, we had a lot of clients that had somebody argue with me the other day and said, well, why are we paying you to do our audit when you're not looking at our internal controls and giving us an opinion on internal controls? But that's not the scope of what this is. I mean, this is a financial statement audit, but I mean, we've come down and done procedures and issued a report and give a recommendation. So, you know, and I'm willing to talk through you know, whatever issues you have, so.
It helps to have a staff that's been there a long time too, right?
Consistency is good.
It's not the first rodeo.
Yep. Okay.
Any questions? Thanks, John.
Good.
Are you back in the States for good, for a while?
For a while, until they get rid of their quarantine.
Yeah.
We were headed there this month, but if I go down, I have to be there for 2 months. And I got a daughter that's leaving on a mission, so I better not miss that.
You will be in trouble, huh?
I would come home to the wife.
Well, we're glad to have you. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, the next item is discussion and action approval of the water conservation plan. We can't do that till next city council, so we're going to have a little public hearing before to approve it. We were trying to get it this time, but we had to advertise it in the paper, so that was...
That'll be
tabled till next time, because we had to advertise it in the paper. All right.
Is that on the agenda last time?
We made sure that, because we had the preliminaries, we made sure that nobody wanted to change anything. So he's hoping we could have done it tonight, but we have to have it advertised in the paper before we can approve it.
So is that...
So it'll be December 14th.
So we'll start advertising whenever...
She's got it listed in the paper, so it's already advertised. So, because we have to do that before the end of the year. All right, next item is discussion action of the city taking over the utility bill for the water tender building.
Which was also discussed last meeting, but wasn't...
Wasn't on the agenda, so we couldn't do anything with it.
And that was the fire...
Up on 900 East where the water tanker sits, and the city gets the money, but the county's been paying the utility.
I think we agreed that we could probably do that, correct me if I'm wrong. We talked about it.
We talked about it, kind of agreed upon it, but we didn't have it as an item on the agenda, so we brought it back for today to have it as an official item. So any other further discussion on that? We'll just go ahead and take over the utility bill, basically for the water tender building.
We need a roll call vote on that.
Yes, yep.
A motion.
A motion, too.
I'll make a motion that we take over the utility bill for the water tender building up on 900 East.
I'll say.
Okay, the motion by Justin, motion by Kevin and seconded by Justin. The city will take over the utility bill for the water tender building on 900 East. Roll call.
Justin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Roll?
Yes.
Grumpy?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
All right, next is discussion action on resolution 2021-2021. The resolution updating compliance with a section of 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, updating our ADA reasonable accommodation policy and grievance procedures and effective communication policy and language access plan. So all these to be able to apply for our CDBG grant, we have to update these.
Well, it's probably good to have them updated anyway.
Yeah.
Does that cause us to be out of compliance with certain things if we write as a staff, or?
Just that we've had them years ago, but we thought we ought to really update them and agree.
We scored more points.
And they need to be updated.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
But all I'm asking is, we've got a lot of old buildings and stuff. Does adopting this cause us to go in and have to...
We've got some of those checklists from 2019, so I don't know. We have to proceed.
It shouldn't have changed them, because it all still falls under your insurance, and your insurance makes those, but they should be still... I mean, those are... grandfather's buildings. It shouldn't change any of that.
Grandfather, there's a clause for older buildings.
It's the historical areas that we're in that's grandfathered in.
Anything there we have to comply with. We have to, in the older buildings, we have to do our best to accommodate, make the ramp out in front.
a prime example is the library, where we have to have a policy in place that somebody in a wheelchair that cannot get up to the second story, they can call the library, and they come out to take care of them. So we get, so it's not necessarily...
You have to have some measures in place.
You have to have measures in place to make it so they've got accessibility to the other stuff.
You don't necessarily have to put a...
An elevator.
...ramp or an elevator in, you can just make different...
Procedures to make it so they can access.
You're at a park up there by the library, and the handicap parking space, there's a sign up there that says, if you need assistance...
Call, call this number.
Okay.
So stuff like that, that we make sure that we're up to date with.
Are we up to date?
Yeah.
As far as I know, we're up to date.
Okay.
Yep.
Any other questions, I'll make a motion to accept the, for this resolution. 2021-21, resolution update compliance with section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, updating ADA reasonable accommodation policy and grievance procedures and effective communication policy and language access plan.
Okay, you got the motion by Sam, seconded by Justin to accept Mount Pleasant City Resolution 2021-21, resolution updating compliance with section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, updating the ADA reasonable accommodation policy and grievance procedures and effective communication policy and language access plan. Roll call.
Hi, Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rocky?
Yes.
No. Yes.
All right. Next is approval of some subdivision conceptions for the following two, Glenn Peel and McKay Quinn.
I was looking for Glenn Peel one. The Navy's paper's too small, but you guys, the hospital don't own property on the north side of that, does it?
Yes, it's right behind the hospital.
So this will go behind the hospital? So it's clear back into the more I was thinking.
Yeah.
So it's not the field that Alan Shelley has, it's clear back.
It's the field that Alan Shelley had, but he come across the east side of the hospital and around behind the hospital.
Okay. So I guess in his pictures, it doesn't show anything out further in front. No. Out by Clark Carter's RV. What is he just having?
He's wanting to do a 55 and older property. Or
so are these two different things that we're talking about? Is this a different one from the 55 and older we talked about last time?
Yeah. Well, okay. He talked about this last time, but then he's got another phase that he'd like to do a 55 and older on the east side.
On the east side. Okay, that's
something north.
That's what I was trying to figure out from this.
Doesn't what? This property goes that way, yes.
This is towards where Alan Shelley was, isn't it?
All of that is Alan Shelley's property.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay, I'm with this.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
That's why we kind of tried to put...
So what did you say, east? You can go east?
So right on the, right here in this blank is the rest of Alan Shelley's where he's farming on this 55 north.
That goes towards the park, right?
Yes. Over by RV park and...
So it's something like this. It's actually
not sitting like. Yeah. Actually, this is where's the sub-zero or whatever.
It's clear.
Sub-zero, it's clear over here.
But isn't it in line with
yes.
this?
Yeah.
On that, is this the east end?
Yes. North,
east, west, right?
Yep.
So how is the access in the? Is this one coming up from behind? The hardware store?
Yeah.
So this would be clear behind the Piccadilly.
Yep. Coming up off Piccadilly Lane.
And this will have a, looks like you've got two ways in and out.
He's not showing any streets in and out.
Well, this street's just within the subdivision.
Yeah.
There's the only
one. Well, yes, I'm assuming this is the road right here coming into it, right? On the very
behind the
south. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. So he's not even showing an exit out to the...
No, I think eventually he was talking about having an exit out
there. Out there too as well, right?
As far as I know, he was, to tie that road together, but really that whole subdivision, again, has got only one entrance and one exit.
True. I mean, there is in the inside of the subdivision, there's kind of the...
There's the loop inside.
Yeah, but it's still the same situation you have up there.
Right.
It might be worth having him doing, if he knows where his road's going to be on this other subdivision, make that a higher priority and put that in as a, as an extra way in, as a backup.
Yeah. We'd have the same discussion on the other one a little bit. That's what I'm in favor of, is even maybe just having a temporary platted road, to, even if it's just road base right now.
Yeah, at least there's an...
Well, for emergency.
I'd like to see it too, if he's got the plan to go through there, the next phase. I'd like to see the phase, and then, if nothing else, the road deeded to the city and gravelled.
Yeah, I mean, this just shows one phase. I'd like to see the, kind of the full concept of the master plan of what it's going to be when it's done, and how the roads are going to tie in.
Yeah.
That's quite a few residents to just have one in and out, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 80 homes.
I mean...
I think it is.
We've had trouble with that other subdivision east of town, and this has got more residents than that one does.
Right. I thought you mentioned that he was going to have it.
Yeah.
Two.
I did too. I thought...
It's not shown here on his concept, no.
Yeah, I think they need to plan that road, so you got two ways in and out of that thing.
What is this right here?
Having that road.
What's the future plan for going east right here?
He doesn't own the property, so kind of just stops there.
Other than he's got to have enough room for a road.
Right.
And I guess another question I got, what are they going to do with the sewer? Is that going to go under State Street?
It all tied down in by John McKay's.
Yeah.
And then it cuts across 89.
So it's big enough to handle all this, huh?
Yeah.
Well, so it'll go west.
And the one that the engineer has to come up...
I'm assuming, right, Colton?
I mean, that...
Isn't that, I don't know if you've seen his plans on this, he'd have to go west for sewer.
Yeah, the Piccadilly and all that.
There is a sewer line just east of the hospital, though.
Yeah.
That's more... That he may be able to tie in.
Well, I'm not sure. He may go north, saying, well, I don't know what his grade and all that is, but there's the line that you're talking, that east one, that goes out there, true. It's a fact, goes through that other piece of property.
This piece, so...
Maybe those are sack lots.
But I don't think it could only get this section.
There's no street in between these buildings here? This is not streets here?
I think they are, but they're private roads, so it'd just be like getting into your garages.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's still...
What we're saying is there's only one access into the whole thing.
Yeah.
An exit.
Yeah, I understand that.
Where we need this one to continue out to sub-zero.
Uh-huh.
So is this going to be a public road or not?
Yes. Yeah, somebody's got to be able to get it.
I think on his thing, it was reading he was doing an HOA.
He is doing an HOA, but he really hasn't, on this, he hasn't determined... He really hasn't told us which is a public road and which is going to be the private road.
The other thing he's mentioned in the plans, that he's working with Mont, trying to figure out what we were acquiring for the Spring City Trail and stuff like that.
To tie those two trails together.
Yeah.
And it talks about it in here in the front.
Talk about curtain battery.
Yeah.
And drainage, that's another issue. I mean, he's going to have all that. Where's the drainage? Where's the water going to go?
I guess that's all part of his engineering, yeah.
Yep.
So is the old property to come out past zero, so the...
Yes. Yep.
Well, he should extend that road out then, so it comes back out onto the...
Yes.
Two ways in and out.
Yes.
If we require them to have a road and allow just a temporary surface, is that setting it up standard for some other situations?
Well, that's what's on. If you look at the, I'll kind of skip the next one, it says right here, the right of way dedicated with phase one, to provide secondary access road to be road base until further phase and development.
Oh, it's on there?
Well,
that's on our next one.
That's what I'm saying. I was reading that on the next one, so I don't...
The next proposal.
So we got
McKay.
You know. So, I mean, if you're doing that for that one, I don't think necessarily we're doing a double standard, in a way. I mean, if they're doing them in phases.
mean, I guess there's always a chance that if you don't do it now, depending on what the future holds, it could just stay that way if, you know, if the market crashes or something and they don't finish, how long do you end up with a temporary road, this road?
Right.
Maybe it don't matter.
I think the road's got to be finished. I wouldn't let them just put road base down and then turn it over to city.
Until they get the other phases done?
No, I don't have it done, so that it was done. Otherwise, you know, they're going to turn it over to the city, and that's the city's obligation to pay it.
Most of these towns anymore, if they're doing a subdivision or even going up a new city street, it's up to the property owner to do the curb and gutter in front of that home.
Right.
And I think it's up to the city, if it's not subdivision, the city does the paving. But as far as the curb and gutter, it's up to that property owner. And he can't build unless he puts that curb and gutter in also. And that's where Nephi is, Ephraim.
That's where these subdivisions will be.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is that everybody, well, maybe, do you want to come up and talk to McKay? You can come up and talk, you're here. Because that's the other one.
Do you want to move on to the next item?
We can kind of bolt together on the same agenda.
I was thinking, but typically if you go to another community that are doing the phases, they don't require them to do all the roads in the whole master plan before they...
No.
No.
Just as they're developing, as they develop that street.
But with the understanding that it's going to get done at that time.
Right.
But I think with the concern is only having, in the meantime, only having one access in and out.
That's my concern. I mean, yeah, ordinarily you would expect that you basically got all those homes in there with one way in and one way out.
It is a different circumstance.
It is a different circumstance. It's a fire situation, it's escape. I mean, look at the traffic that's going to be on that road that's not that big of a road.
Yeah. Well, they are next to the hospital if there's an emergency, they can just walk.
Maybe they don't need to use the road that much. They can walk to Carroll's, they can go to Walker Road.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
They can go to the hospital. Maybe they're not figuring out that much traffic.
I agree with Kevin on this. I think that road, that other coming out past to the Sub-Zero there, that should be paved right out to State Street and taken care of right on the spot right there.
So they've got two ways in and out.
Yep.
I mean, if he does it in phases, we're still talking.
That's a different project.
It's a different project, so I can't.
Well, I agree with you too.
This is the project I was looking for.
Yep.
So he's talking about one or two buildings at a time, which, if you look at this, so this is a build, each of these are a building, right?
Right.
Let's get this going the right way. This is west, so is he starting on the west?
We don't know. He hasn't told us for sure.
What is the planning and zoning said about it, Dave?
Which one?
The Glenfield one.
Glenfield.
Anybody say anything about the accesses in and out?
No, not too much on Glenfield.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So they do phase one, say they start with these two. There ought to be something in there. Now, maybe the first phase could all exit this way. But he's going to get to a point where you're going to have, there's...
Well, it goes back to if it is in phase one, like you're saying, if they all exit one way, then there's still only one exit.
Now there's 22, and then there's going to be 33. If he gets halfway, I would say that that's when they need to put that other road out. I don't know.
In my opinion, they need to have two ways in and out before they start any development.
Well, there'd be nothing wrong with that.
Well, our code says, I think, 450 feet before they have that, as long as they can go with the dead end, right?
Well, no, it says as long as there's that, or is it 250? 450 feet, as long as there's a cul-de-sac at the end to turn a fire truck around. You can't go over and go past that. You can go past it, you just can't.
It'll hurt to have that.
At 450 feet, you have to have a turn.
It'll hurt, it'll be good to have.
Yeah.
If you got, if you got a...
I know.
Me, you had a discussion on this, I don't know.
We interpret that what happened. In my mind, it says you can't just have a dead end road.
Yeah, you're going to have...
Even if we have...
Going in and out of there, contractors, in addition to people that live there, they're going to need...
So I don't know how far it is, Mayor, from where that would be going, it's back to...
Low boys with track codes.
To where your house...
It'd be quite ways.
It'd be quite ways.
Because it's the only way in and out.
I was looking for any kind of way to justify it, but I think that it's going to be in everybody's best interest to have another access. People don't end up with, like, Asco Village or up there.
There's going to be a lot of construction traffic while it's building these units. And... to alleviate some of that traffic.
It actually would be to their advantage to have to...
Yeah.
To facilitate.
And maybe you tell your contractors to use this road so they're not driving all over the people that live there.
At least the gravel road, you can tell the development. It's, as it goes, then they pave as the development goes.
That's kind of what I was saying, but it sounds like there's some, maybe some concern about that.
We're just talking the main road.
Well, there's so many homes on there, they're only going to have one exit. And that becomes a problem.
So I think the question is whether we wanted to do full improvements on that road, or curb gutter asphalt, or just a temporary until development takes place.
Ethan's doing a development right now on the east side of town. It's probably about second or third south and up fifth or sixth east. And they're doing the same thing there as we're talking here. And as those houses are built, then the street, the paving, the curb and gutter is extended as those buildings are built.
But is there more than one access there?
Yes, there is. They've got a gravel road. They went in and graveled it. But that first block and a half or so is paved now because they've got street of homes in there. So, and that's the way Nephi does it. Nephi's done it, and a lot of these towns do it.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is having it there and having the right-of-way dedicated, because in these other situations, we don't even have right-of-way. So
we don't have an access.
That causes a big problem. At least if it's platted and dedicated.
Well, and gravelled, so that they can use. They can, that, you know, obviously if it had road base, it could be...
Yeah, that's what I mean, but in these other developments, it was never even platted.
Right.
Or improved.
Let's let McKay, because McKay will, do you want to talk just a little bit, explain yours to the other one? And then maybe we can kind of combine the two together and see here.
Yeah, I think the plan that you're looking at is the plan that I took to Planning Commission, but there was some discussion from the Planning Commission, so if you want to pass these ones around, this is an updated plan that resolves some of the issues.
Sheets here?
There's just a street section, it's page two. So the Planning Commission had the same concern, because the plan you're looking at has phase one coming off the Pleasant View subdivision, and then us dedicating the road right-of-way and doing gravel roadways on the right-of-way all the way to Mountainville Highway.
Yes.
And that was our proposal. Their concern was what you're talking about, is once we get through phase one and phase two, we'll have the gravel road, but most of the traffic is going to still be going through that subdivision. And they weren't so excited about having 35 or 40 homes.
Additional.
In addition to what's in the subdivision already.
There, that would create
a... Even though there would be a gravel road, it's secondary use. It's not like, it's kind of out of the way in terms of where people would be going and not as convenient. So what I talked about with the Planning Commission and what their recommendation was to the City Council was an approval based on reversing the phasing. So we would start phase one up on the northeast side, up off Mountainville Highway. We would build that road, which is 500 north, and that would be phase one.
400 north.
500 north.
And that tie into Mountainville Highway.
Yes. So we would have our primary access off Mountainville Highway for phase one. And then we actually talked about not building the secondary, not dedicating it. All we would need to do is a sewer easement to punch the sewer down to the Mount Pleasant View subdivision. And then we would dedicate the right-of-way with phase two. So the blue would be phase two, and we could get the right-of-way all the way dedicated and paved with the second phase. But really, phase one acts just like a cul-de-sac. There's a hammerhead turnaround for a fire truck on the end, which you have to have a 70-foot T or hammerhead for a fire truck. And we would just improve that first yellow phase.
How far is that distance from Mountainville to that?
Oh, 1,300 feet. Yeah. I know our property is about 1,300 from end to end. So I've updated the phasing based on that, and I think this works a lot better because it alleviates any traffic from going down through.
But this one. And you're saying that you would do the road though going into Pleasant View, do it over in phase two?
Yes. Yeah, so first we build the yellow section. Are you looking at the new plan?
Yeah, we're at the new one here.
That would be phase one. Once those are all built out, then we come by phase two. That road gets completed, and then what I've done is I made the phase threes all the cul-de-sacs, and so it's just additional lots, but it's not affecting the primary or secondary access.
So in your phases, is there a road that will still go through to the Pleasant View subdivision?
Phase two.
In phase two, that's what I'm saying.
Lowest road.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That will connect.
Okay.
It'll come out right from Ryan Beck's house.
Right there. Phase three will go right into the
subdivision.
So that's the original proposal, and this is to be updated.
So this road going from Mountainville, on phase one from Mountainville Highway, will it tie into 500 North before you start phase two?
We don't own the property to the left. There's two additional parcels between our property where 500 ends.
Tibbs and them own up to that certain point. Who's it?
So you got Stansfield that has a piece, and then Robin Monks.
And they're supposed to bring the road up to the top, right?
The 500 North. Right up against that.
No, there's a
gap
power line right
there.
Are these running?
There'll be houses against the west here? Against the power line, yeah. And the road will be sticking out.
So this is Mountainville Highway right here.
So they're back to the house here, is actually your power line.
Yeah.
So the road runs east or west.
Yes.
But where are they tying into the, or after they come over here in phase two?
Yeah. Phase two brings it into the Pleasant View subdivision.
Phase two brings it into Pleasant View subdivision. So what they'd do is they'd actually get they'd give a sewer easement here, put the sewer line in the north.
16 feet.
And then as they come back with phase two, then they connect the water lines and tie it together.
So how do we get that to go all the way down Fifth North?
How many homes in phase one?
Not many homes. How do we get that to go down Fifth North?
I'm Stansfield developed.
Stansfield
and Robert Monks.
Yeah, it's like
so Stansfield's right on the east side.
Yeah, there's 23 homes there. So
but then, I thought we talked to Robin had to, that she was aware that she had to do an easement.
Oh, I'm not aware of that.
She done it up to the edge of her property. So she deeded a piece of property to the city up to
Tibbs.
So this goes east to west. Does this come all the way to the highway down here?
No. Stansfield owns this property.
And you've got this big long head.
And then Robert Monks owns the next piece of property.
You know, we're not opposed to doing it. We're not opposed to dedicating the right of way all at once to give secondary access.
Because the sewer easement is basically dedicated as the roadway.
From in here?
From the Pleasant View subdivision.
What is this little stub right here? Is that just an existing subdivision, or what's that
situation? Yeah, so that's existing right-of-way. So this is the road within the subdivision. That's right-of-way that accesses
Jane
Nelson's property.
So it's like dead end right now?
If you go look at that house, that furthest north, east house,
the Walters
yard
house
ends, and then there's however many feet that's right away into Nelson's.
Yeah,
it almost seems weird to even have that's almost a driveway.
So remind me, what was we doing with Mark Allen's property? Was there
We got a 20...
We got a 20-foot easement to bring utilities down the back.
Bring utilities, right?
Yes.
I remember that. So is this more town's property, you have to put it on...
No, this is Keith Brothers. Keith Brothers and all down through there. And then there's two other owners.
Doug Hyden and him.
And then Kelly Graham's house sits right there.
And that's what we were proposing on the first phase.
My biggest concern is adding...
All main traffic.
For residences.
So we can still get a...
This is a Shadowville Road door.
You got your two ways in here.
Comes over and comes down.
South here to go to Terrell's. They're gonna be going...
So this here is like 285 North.
This won't be developed.
This is Pleasant View subdivision right now.
Remember, we always have that situation there where there's only been one access, so this will actually solve that problem.
Yes, this will solve that problem.
It will?
Yes.
My concern is this, is these existing roads in the subdivision are only 26 feet wide. So you're adding 44 homes to a road that's only 26 feet wide. And there's already too much traffic on that road for...
Okay, so, yeah, they got vehicles parked all along there and everything, yeah.
And you're gonna add 44 more residences that are gonna be using that road.
And you know, this...
There's a combination of coming up Mountville Road.
That's not very convenient for people either.
They're not gonna go up Mountville Road to go to Terrell's.
Make a one-way road, that's a long...
They're gonna be driving down through the subdivision.
Right, that's a long way around.
That's why I was hoping to go down Fifth, if you go down Fifth North, reality, because then it's a straight shot, straight street and over. I mean, that's not...
That's, we don't have that option with...
No.
Not with this.
Not in today's situation, I think.
Over time, we'll probably naturally take that corner.
So is there any way we can widen that road going down through the subdivision? I don't know, between me and Stan Brady, there's 26 feet in between property lines.
The only thing you can do is make people not park on the street.
That'd be the biggest thing, is trying to get an enforcement from there.
That corner is already a disaster. I mean, people don't...
I think you're creating a bottleneck.
You're adding 44 homes to something that's already...
That already is, and it's also solving the problem that's been there for years.
Where you got another egress.
But you're just building a dirt road too.
No. It will be built, the phase two, eventually, but...
Eventually.
At least it'll be dedicated right away and...
Phase one will be oiled all the way down.
Phase one will be oiled, and phase one won't be driving down through the subdivision.
No.
They'll be oiled out.
And they have to go up to that.
And I think it'll be fast, all those phase one houses, it'll be faster.
Well, if they're in that, in reality, if they're in the habit of going up that way, then that's just gonna be natural to go up that way, I think, but...
Yeah. It'll be faster for them.
Because if it takes a year or two, they're not gonna all of a sudden decide to go down that way. I think they'll still continue to use...
I think most of the people here are probably gonna go out to Mountville and down around. Probably gonna have still about the same split.
Didn't we tell Steve Johansson he had that 50-foot road or down there or something? Told him he had to have a 50-foot road, what's that gonna do?
Our right-of-way is 50 feet. We've actually drawn in 66 on the 500 North alignment as well. That's not code today, but we understand that that's what the city, where the city wants to go, so we're...
66 on the 500 North.
We're drawing it as 66 on the 500 North and 50 on the rest.
Boy, a 26-foot road isn't very wide for that...
This is 50, Phil Sutter. This is 50 on his part.
That's existing.
This is 26 here, right? No, that's 66.
That's 66.
This is down here, it's 26.
It's these, it's 26, and there's no way of fixing that, so we fixed it here the best we can.
And I don't know if you go through here and tie into due north. Obviously, there's property owners.
There's property owners, yeah.
We talked to the Betts and the Keith on the east. Neither of them are interested.
Neither one's budget.
That's no surprise.
Yet.
So this is the east end where you live.
Yeah.
This is the east end up here.
Right, so this road will come out basically right in front of Brian Beck's house.
Major street, 66.
So my concern is the amount of traffic we're gonna see on this
than this here.
20 foot.
You're going to have that no matter what we do. Because somehow or another, you got to get another exit out of that subdivision. And it's going to tie into housing somewhere.
In reality, people, you might get all these people up here that might actually find it easier or something.
Deal with them.
Yeah, it's all suitable. It's out before this ever comes. And hopefully by then we'll have, who owns this property up here that we have?
Go through there.
To north.
Stansfield.
That's second north.
Robin Munn, well, this is Stansfield.
Third north.
This is third north.
So second right away.
Nobody's approached them. Because again, nobody wants to go across the oil and the road or anything through there because if you're not developing, that's why would you want to?
To eliminate the traffic going through this.
Well, I know Stansfield's, but I don't know the.
These property owners.
It's Robin's.
Let's talk about.
The only thing that, as far as anything concerns me is just the distance on this T. I mean, just travel, turn around, I mean, 1,300 feet.
Well, that's the thing, Sam. What happens if something happens and we get stuck with a 1,300 foot dead end for 20 years?
That's my bigger concern, but I mean, in all honesty. I don't know. I mean, but then you don't want some big weird halfway up there turnaround spot either. You know, it'd be kind of. No. Kind of a weird thing that way too, so.
With it being that wide of a road though, a 66 foot road, that makes a big difference too to me.
If it's paved 66 feet, that's just right away.
Well, that's what we're showing.
Is that cross section is the 50 foot cross section?
Well, paved 40 feet.
40 foot set paved.
Well, no.
What's your paving that you have? I can't read it.
He's got, that's 30 feet. That's, yeah, 30 foot paving. That's.
30 foot.
I haven't looked at the cross section on 66. I was going to look to your guidance. This cross section, I think, is where you were heading on the 50 foot right of way.
This one?
That one is the 50 foot right of way. I don't know where you guys stand on the 66.
So that's a way profile.
I think we've had some discussion and we've kind of. We've come to the conclusion that that might be what we're looking for. And that still has the public utility easements along there or not?
That shows it on that.
Traffic, 44 homes driving down there.
So that's 30 foot asphalt.
Asphalt. Here I got a top one.
That's 60. Oh, 30. 36
feet. Isn't that 40 feet?
12 plus 12 plus.
No, it shows that overall. So are we all, let's see, 40 is the curb, so you got 36 feet of asphalt, that's right.
2 feet of curb on each side, right?
And then you got 2 feet of curb on each side.
Yeah, so the 66 foot right of way would have 40 feet to turn around essentially, right?
Well, that'd be driving on top of the curb.
That's if nobody's parked on your.
You'd have 36 feet.
I'm seeing.
And the way we drew the lines is so it has a hammerhead on the end, okay. So you can get turn a fire truck in the pump.
On our last discussion with the Planning and Zoning Commission, and this would probably end up tying into the 900 East Drive.
That's the Mountville Road.
That's the Mountville Road. The discussion with the Planning Commission that ought to be a main artery, which would be the 99 feet road that we've got in town right now. Because that probably would end up being a major artery for everything that's built east and also these that are coming west. And the way this is phased starting out, they're going to all be going east and then anything built east is going to be coming west and that major artery. That ought to be the road that ties back to the highway. That was the suggestion made.
Second north is probably a 99 foot road.
It is.
Okay, so
back in Mountville is a lot wider than the 66.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite a 99, but I'll bet it's.
It's pretty close. Yeah. I'll bet it's close because it's a wider road than.
I think the talk was that. Second south probably wouldn't be the major artery, no, second north wouldn't be the major artery. The Mountainville, 900 East would go all the way around and then tie back into the highway. So people could
You can never do across 900 East. There's no way to get it unless we bought a bunch of properties. But
going
past Second South ought to be 99 feet.
Yeah, because Second South's 99 foot right of ways, going up that.
Not when they're going north and south. That was the suggestion made at the.
That's pretty wide, Second North, are you?
Second North, Second South is, but from those two points going across 900 East, it's very narrow.
It's narrow.
Very narrow, huh?
Yeah.
Somewhere there's got to be a major artery, and if it's going to be Second North, I guess.
I think it's going to be Second North.
It'll have to be trans into the Mountainville. I mean, eventually it'll turn into that.
But. Yeah, because it goes out towards Mountainville and it goes right down directly to the highway.
That's how they're going to
be the major.
Get into town, it's on Second North.
So you'd be all right with the Second.
Isn't that a county road?
Yes.
See, that's going to have to be widened.
Yeah.
That's going to have to be widened when all this is done.
I think in all reality, if you could secure that property that would allow you to go to the highway to the west, and then you'd have a straight through road.
I mean, that's the plan, right?
That's
but we don't own that property.
So the owns it.
That's why we're not dead ending. That's why we're leaving the road stubbed in so that development can happen. Otherwise, we would have done a cul-de-sac there or something.
Yeah. You think that's the best solution, but it's not.
Well,
possible right
you're
now.
You're still going to end up with the traffic going through the subdivision eventually.
Well, I would think that would be an advantage to Stansfield and Rob and whoever to build that road through there.
Well, I think you know
sit together with this and build that road through there.
It would.
Well, as soon as you do the subdivision, it can add value to the property because now it's going to be a.
Now the property value is already increased.
You know, so I mean, in reality.
They got all the infrastructure.
Stansfield doesn't have access to it.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So Robin's in the real estate business.
Makes some money.
It'll all increase and eventually that Fifth North will tie.
But I don't think we can force them out.
No, we can't, but he could get together with them and they could talk this over and work it out to where something would happen that way.
I still think his plan is pretty sound to tie that in. I mean, say he got straight through here, it still doesn't give the subdivision wrong he has a second access.
No. This way it does. At least this way you are getting a second access.
Yeah, and I think this will come.
And this was not only
over time.
This wouldn't only suffice the access. This would also be a huge improvement on the water source. Because then you're not dead ending all these water lines in there. You can make a huge improvement on that.
And now, because then you can leave things.
So I'm just wondering how we can mitigate it. We know that people aren't going to use this road in this space. First phase, I don't think.
I mean, there's no way they're going to be able to go over and down until phase two, but I think, like I said, people get in the habits, they're going to continue that habit. I don't think, I mean, it's just like, you know, when we had the thing with the new elementary going in, everybody said, we're going to force them to take Third East. It's never happened. They're all going to take Fourth East, and that's what they're going to do. I mean, once they get in that habit, that's what they stay in. I mean, that's just kind of the generalize of it, but.
Yeah.
I mean, if this phase takes, I don't know, what are you thinking from phase to phase? 2 years, a year?
Hopefully it's only a year, but you know, it just depends on.
I mean, a year of driving out that direction, I don't think.
If we have to wait, there's just one way in, one way out on phase one until phase two comes in.
I mean, that's kind of a.
But it'll go in quick.
Not if we require that to be like.
Do a dirt road.
Temporary.
To mean like.
Have that dedicated and have a gravel or road based road. But then Robbie's concern is people are going to start using that, but I don't think they're.
And it's a little road. Like it's little.
Well, there ain't.
We can just do the road base as 20 feet because that's what you need, like law for fire truck access.
What's wrong with putting something there to kind of. Make the road, but have something there to kind of block it so nobody can use it until.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think anybody's going to use it anyway until.
I mean, you can
maybe phase one or phase two.
I mean, you could put like some road coal signs there, you know, or whatever, just to show. You know, you can have the dirt pavement there, but.
Well, isn't your water and sewer going to have to follow that through now?
Yeah, eventually.
I mean, already you're going to do the sewer because It's got to tie in down.
Well, that's, the idea is to give your water so it's not dead ending.
Yeah. So phase two will loop us.
So phase two, no, but what he's saying, he'll put the dirt road in so that they can run the water and sewer there. Now, for phase one, is that my understanding?
We're doing the sewer no matter what. The water, we're doing a, we've got a, they're testing the pressure right now to see if we need to loop it. Most likely we'll have to loop it too. So those are guaranteed. The road is up to you guys. If you require it to be dedicated and gravel up front, then we do that. If you guys are okay with no gravel.
I at least want to think it needs to be dedicated.
I'd say dedicated and gravel. I mean, that's, gravel's not real expensive.
And road base, and then if you want to put something to block the road until everything that way, at least if there's an emergency, you can still get traffic.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's ways around it, just leaving it open to allow free rain, because I can see your point of people being just dirt. I can see them still going through there.
And dedicate that as a road or a dirt road, then it's going to get more
construction, construction traffic.
That's the best thing we did on Trip West, is let that set a year and cement drive us for a year before they paved it
up super hard.
Mike, has the drainage been addressed?
His engineers will have to do that.
What we're doing, we're retaining 100% on site with sumps in the road. So it's all curb and gutter. It'll be everywhere there's an inlet, there will be a sump.
If we could get that road through to the highway, that would alleviate this.
There's gravel.
It will come that way eventually. It will become eventually. That's why it's nice that this is the 60-foot.
What I'm saying is, if we can get him to work with them on this and get that agreement between the two of them right now.
But that's a really common solution.
Then that alleviates this problem we're talking about here.
I've talked to Stansfield, and I think we need to see how quick these lots sell.
Sump's not going to.
Well, the road's still an advantage to it.
Eventually, that water's going to drop.
Stansfield would still have to do the road until they're ready to put lots in there.
Yeah,
and they do the road.
There again, that's the
unless they sell the property.
We have to come back with a full design plan.
Yeah, but they could really make some money.
Once I'm designed for cash,
I can see Mr. Turn that door.
A 100-year storm, you have to be out of the house.
I don't like the idea of 44 new homes driving.
That, I guess that's
we're going to either way.
Eventually.
Yeah. We just got to get another one down further to go out to 50.
And maybe that's just
that's what we conducted.
Sacrifice we have to make to see this come to fruition in the future.
Yep.
Well, I've got a solution, Rodney. You can just buy a lot up here in phase one. This is your problem.
Spec went out and let me out. I'm looking at this thinking maybe I ought to go get my contractor's license. This coal mine's not very much fun. No, I think this is great plan development, and you know, it's within our ordinances and our city code. And it's not just a free for all. Do whatever you want, wherever you want. I like it. The other question is, do we have the water to support it? The last 2 years, I've only been able to water one day a week. Last year, I didn't plant a garden because I knew that I was only going to be able to water once a week, and you can't keep a garden alive watering one day a week. So, you know, obviously, we had a 100-year drought. We're strapped 100 years, and that's probably not going to be the case every year. But you know, however, we got this new well. That's a new source. That,
well, I think we're taking the right steps, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, we're taking all the right steps and putting all the right ways for the water.
It's all culinary.
Yeah.
There's no irrigation up in that corner.
I think along in that line, we probably ought to. I'm going to be gone, but you guys ought to consider maybe an ordinance that limits green space on this new development, so because it's all going to be culinary.
Yeah, and if you got a 3/4-acre lot trying to keep lawn, I mean, that's it.
Or you got to draw a line on who gets irrigation water.
I think we need to try and encourage, and I don't think we mandate it, but I think we need to encourage all the dry scape or whatever we want to call it. as much as possible.
So these will be outright individual owners?
Yeah.
I think you have their ordinance that says how much green space you can have. I think there's a lot of communities.
There's a lot of places that do that.
This isn't an HOA, right?
No, HOA, yeah.
So I mean, you know.
I just don't think people, I guess, if you suggest it, I don't think they're going to do it. Unless there's some incentive.
Well, I'd like to see McCabe come back to us with a proposal. Because with building them like you are, you can probably require them to landscape a certain way. Or we could sell them as a subdivision that would be landscaped a certain way.
We're not building.
You're not the builder, you're just sell the lots.
So we can't.
Mandate anything?
The best way is to have an ordinance. I've seen that before and pretty effective. Just limit it to a percentage.
And no grass on the park strip if there is.
Well, you can put it in there and cause it, you know, from this day forward, any new development all is required to be zero, you know, different types of zero scape. It doesn't affect the current people that are here. But, and in that, you can add maybe an incentive of if people that choose to do it that are in older buildings, there is an incentive. Because I think like you say, I like zero scape personally. But having an incentive to dump a bunch of money into it to do it.
Allow a little bit of grass and then have a whole lot of like common space at your park and stuff that's got a nice area to go play football or frisbee, then I think that's ideal because then you're trying to make conservation efforts and then you're, I don't know.
Well, you know, there's a lot of places that the city can zero scape that I think would be a good start too.
Yep. So are these going to have public utility easements on the front?
Yeah, that'll come in our plat.
Okay.
This is the next phase of development. This is a concept approval, preliminary plat approval, so then we do the engineering.
So
draw the right to it.
So I guess, is this something we're supposed to approve tonight or have an action on or?
So basically, yeah, I think it's an action to, so the planning and zoning gave him the go-ahead to do the next phase of the concept. I think it's basically, we agree with that, with the planning and zoning, going to continue with the next phase of designing these subdivision.
So on the note, it says right away to be dedicated. Is that the same, is that the law here too? I guess it's not.
No,
it's not on that one, but.
But you're open to that.
Yeah. He'll have to anyway because the sewer line's going to come through.
Yeah, so it's going to basically be a.
It's still dedicated with that.
The only difference is we'll just have to put gravel down, but we're already going to have to clear and grub all that in the sewer in there, so it's just gravel compaction.
Bare minimal. So.
But I guess the only concerns I got is the drainage and the egress. I just think that would enhance that more
private.
To have that.
I know most parks.
To have them work, to tie that into Fifth North.
I think that's a common man.
You've got 5 feet here, so you've got 5, you've got 8 feet, that's 16, you've got 20 here, that only makes 14 foot traffic.
Just to see if that works.
Well, if I seen your plot plan, if they looked and seen what you were doing, and they've got that piece of property there. Makes sense. There's an opportunity for that.
50.
Yes, sir. Land conservation, so they don't want to see it developed.
And we'd have to change the ordinance to bump it out.
So I think again, I guess what we need to do is just approve this, what the planning and zoning's already recommended, to let him go ahead with the.
So this is the new concept one that they're wanting, right?
Yeah, so I basically just updated it based off of their recommendation of having phase one up here.
So are they seeing this?
No, they saw this and then we talked about this and this is what they agreed to.
There might be 5 people strip there. Cars going to stick out there.
I hadn't drawn it, but we put our finger on the locks and said, that's what's going to be.
That's 16 feet.
We didn't talk about doing a right of way, but you guys can overrule what planning and zoning said, so you can say, well, we have to take a right of way.
Yeah, you're going to have to with the sewer anyway, like you said.
Yeah, if it was just the sewer, we do an easement rather than the full.
Right.
It's not really a must.
I mean, if you're doing the easement, you just want to just do the right of way versus an easement and all that speaking.
Phase one was the exiting that subdivision.
Right, and that's why the planning and zoning did not want that.
Right.
That's why they asked you to change.
Because that would increase the traffic.
Yes. Yep.
And it probably will eventually anyway.
It will eventually, but at least now you've got the main road to.
Yeah, you might have.
But how you gonna stop on-street parking?
How you stop?
Yeah. Ticket. That's my, because you take them, put the cars 8 foot wide, you put the mirrors on, they're a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you gotta figure 10.
I don't know how you do that, Lord.
Yeah, and there's only 30 feet there, so now you got travel lanes.
Either try to stop.
It's gonna be pretty tight.
Or you make your roads wide enough that they can park, and not.
Well, that's what I'm talking, looking at here, you're not gonna stop them from parking on their streets.
See, that's sort of, then you have to maintain those big old wide streets. There is one thing that we was talking about earlier, and that was having a 10-foot public utility easement that they maintain, that they can use, you could do parking there for private parking, so they could park off street.
Well, we have curb and gutter.
Unless you did roll curb. Then they could pull up on there, but whether they would or not.
If you've never rolled curb, then you can't really do sumps, because then your stormwater is just going.
No place to catch in.
I mean, definitely more affordable to build that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to put a solution to what he's saying about parking, if you give them an option.
And I guess my suggestion would be then, and I guess I don't know if you need mulch or whatever, but in cooking to whatever, but if this is what planning and zoning wanted and suggested, the only thing I would add to it is that right of way change, but I mean.
That was in there.
That was on this one, but I mean, you go back to Glen Peel, I think we need to go back to the same, I mean, it's gonna have that.
Secondary.
Have some kind of a secondary deal on that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this one was approved through planning and zoning as it is. Do you know, Dave?
It was, but you guys can feel free.
For recommendation.
Recommend maybe come back to the, that it comes back and has this.
Ways in and out.
Yeah, has that extra.
He's gonna have to come back with a concept of how he's gonna do that, right?
Yeah.
I almost feel like we need to just approve them separate, because they're together on the agenda, but they're listed separately.
Yeah, I think they absolutely need to be approved.
So that would be my recommendation, is this one be with those recommendations of the right of way versus this way. Easement, and then with this, and just come back with a
second exit.
Second exit of preliminary, how he's gonna tie it together.
Yep.
So
I don't want this to sound self-serving at all, but do we have a staff engineer that can review these as they come in and make sure that they're complying with our standard? Who's going to do the review internally?
Like McKay and Glenn are going to hire an engineering firm, but that engineering firm doesn't per se look up for.
I don't have necessarily the interests of the city. So typically a development comes in and they have their own engineer, but then there's also an in-house review that's done by an engineer. And so I'm not saying, I don't care who does it, but I think it needs to be done to check drainage calculations and just to verify that what they're doing is sound. And usually the fees to do that are covered through the development.
That would eliminate problems that we've got in past development.
I can't read.
Yes. That would actually try to mitigate that, eliminate that problem that we ended up with that we're now trying to solve another development.
This here, it's curb and gutter that we've never had in any development either.
We don't do a lot of this.
Sidewalk. I know, I've been.
So it's not
like. I've been along for the ride.
It's not like, you know, this is kind of a new chart in your territory a little bit.
Yep.
Well, we're
not reinventing the wheel. Other communities do it all the time. So I just think that there needs to be some engineering review from the city's interests to make sure that it's being done good, correctly.
Does he have an internal engineer?
So.
Yeah, Brian, but he doesn't do, I don't think Brian does much for you, does he?
I'm not sure how, yeah, what kind of licenses he has and what his full scope is.
I would suggest if you want, if that's, if we're going to have, continue to have more of these, you probably ought to just put out an RFP to bring a firm in or an engineer to, engineer director to review.
To look at them.
Just to do a review.
Because it's on call, kind of thing.
Well, it might not be that expensive, but it might save you a lot of headaches.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you can set your development fees up to cover the costs of your in-house review, that's pretty standard.
Yeah. So, unless somebody make a motion on how to continue with these two, or how do we, one word it?
Then do a separate motion for each one.
That's what I would suggest.
I think we need to do a separate motion for each one.
So do you want to do Lynn's first?
Yeah, let's do him first, because his is on the agenda first.
Now, this is a concern I have.
Okay.
I'm hung up on right now. So we're telling Glenn he's got to have two ways in and out before he starts developing. On phase one here, there's only going to be one way in and out.
It'll be two ways out, technically.
Technically, it's two ways because it's
to show that, that graveled.
That will be graveled with the sewer line underneath it. To
so roll through phase two here?
So part of us really we don't. One.
No, through phase two.
Through phase two.
Phase one, you'll have gravel.
Right.
No.
Yes.
Phase one will be oil.
We're talking about going into the subdivision. Phase one, this will all be gravel.
What I've heard from the discussion today is phase one, which is yellow, is pavement.
But where you're on,
we dedicate all of the blue, and we do gravel down the blue with phase one.
Into the phase two.
So that's part of phase one is building this road.
Correct. The secondary access, the dedication, and the gravel.
Because I didn't want there to be a double standard.
No,
he's telling you.
But no pavement on that. No curb and gutter, no pavement. Which is the same conversation you had with Glenn.
Yes, right.
Secondary access.
You don't have this. It's the same thing.
I didn't understand that.
So. Yeah, no.
I still got reservations about the width of the road.
Yeah, then.
Which one?
I just, you say it's two-edged sword, that we got to take care of it. How's it going to be running the plow down between 8 foot? Now, where's the snow going to go?
On 8 foot.
Well, that's all you're going to have in the middle of here. Time you get two cars parked, one on each side of that road. One on each side of that road. You've only got 30 feet to start with.
36. 36 feet.
36 feet of asphalt with 2 foot curves.
You're looking at a different plan.
You're looking at a different plan than we're looking at.
Well,
if you add that up,
this plan here doesn't comply. This is the plan we're using right here.
There's your 37. So this is what we're looking at.
Well, but he said that he had, this is what they drew in, but they recognize that they're going to have to comply with what road widths we take.
No, but then I'll go with that.
So that's.
Well, I want to be clear too that 66
is just.
We had only planned on the east-west connection, which is the higher traffic 500 North Road.
That's fine. It's the main artery of the subdivision.
Right.
The
other and even like that, if you want to designate no street parking, I think there could be an ordinance that would take care of that.
Okay.
Yeah, you could.
Okay.
Huh?
You could.
Because,
well, that's got to be eventually a main road anyway. You won't have off street parking on a main road.
No. So I guess on Glenn's, we want to make.
So on Glenn's, we need to make the motion. I feel like we need to have him come back with the second.
Preliminary drawing of.
A preliminary drawing of the second. Entrance or exit, however you want to say it.
So for okay, that.
So let's do Glenn's first, since this is the first time that we'll do them both separate.
So I'll make a motion on that too. Have Glenn come back to, is it applying a zoning, I guess, it would be, and then they can approve it from there.
Yep.
With the recommendations that he has a preliminary drawing of a second exit going to the north. out of the property that he owns. And it just have to be...
And have that, basically have that road paved to the first, say he does it in phases, like he's showing phases, this is phase one, phase two, whatever.
Yeah.
But they pave it to there, gravel road goes all the way out.
Correct.
In the beginning.
And that needs to be established before construction.
Right.
Correct.
The road, the road dedicated.
Dedicated and gravelled.
Yep.
And maybe that's where the sewer, maybe they're gonna have something going that way on that road anyway, I don't know.
Water will have to go down.
They're gonna have to have drainage.
So.
I don't know if Glenn is showing where his drainage is gonna go.
Did you get that?
No, not on concept.
No, we need to go back to the, Sam was making a motion, and now I'm completely lost as to what is going in the motion.
Well, I think he's, I think we're just describing what needs to go in the motion.
Yeah, just that it needs to have a preliminary access showing that going out the north, and it has to be dedicated and gravelled prior to construction on phase one. Does that make sense? Now, if anybody can explain that to the rest of the committee. Planning and zoning, Dave should be able to kind of explain that, right?
Are you the one that's been communicating with him? I've been to planning and zoning.
Just as long as that, just as long as they have that double up to that, secondary. There's a secondary exit. Yes.
Yep. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion made by Sam.
Okay, have the motion by Sam, seconded by Rondi on Glenn Pills to make sure there's a second exit going to the north, dedicated and gravel before construction would start. Roll call.
I don't think he needs to do a roll call to this one.
Not money? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, on McKay Quinn's subdivision concept.
I'll make the motion to approve it as discussed for phasing and temporary dedicated, or the dedication and temporary access back to whatever road that is until the...
Pleasant View subdivisions.
I'll second it.
Yeah, the motion by Justin, seconded by Sam to approve McKay Quinn's concept of his subdivision with the designation of the road going through to the subdivision gravelled and designated. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Move forward.
They do need that secondary egress. I mean, as bad as I hate to, but I think that's going to alleviate some traffic. Will head out this way. There you go. I mean, that's the way we go over to Fairview usually. Hopefully, alleviate some of the.
I think we're going to get people
popping that we got down there. And we're getting a water main loop, power loop. And then eventually this can blow down a bit more.
That won't be very long.
No, I think once you build this, it really can gel.
We hope. You're going to see. You hope. Yeah. Blow this into 15. I'm assuming it lines up with 15.
It'll be the same problem.
Okay, next item is fire department. Since we have no public participation.
For the project at the end, if you change minds.
Do you have anything?
Sorry, what?
Fire department, do you have anything?
No, I don't have anything.
Public Works.
Did we have public participation?
Well, there's nobody signed out. Jeannie just said, so.
We've been saying to Jeannie, we got section D about ready to open the cemetery. We've got, how many markers you got left, man?
Five.
So they're really close to finishing up getting the markers in, and then we'll be able to start selling. Well, if we needed to install some of the D, that's available now. And then first thing in the spring, I say first thing, like, after Memorial, we'll find that guy.
Do you feel like those graves on the north side of the existing road are a little close to the road?
No, they're just like it was developed.
Right, but they seem closer than any other part of the cemetery.
There's a little bit wider going up the main road, Main Street, as they call it. There's a little bit wider buffer, so over between C and D, closer to the road. The road's not as wide, it's not as...
That's what I'm saying. Do they seem like they're closer to the
road?
They are
closer to the road.
Do you think that's going to create a problem?
No.
You don't think people's going to have to drive on the graders to get around somebody, huh?
Well, what I see them end up doing is the cemetery will be a one-direction flow, so it'll be a one-way road going through that.
Well, even a one-way road, if somebody's parked in front of you, you're going to have to pull out around it.
Is there only enough room for one car?
Yeah. I don't like it.
It's kind of messy.
It's probably too late now, but whoever laid it out didn't take that into consideration. One car...
And on the new section, there's a wider buffer than now. So as C come over, they're tight, and then now D, there'll be a more of a grass strip there before there's headstone. So right there, they'll be able to come out on the grass there and not hit it.
Well, I don't know when you're saying C and D and whatever. I don't know.
D's the one that's the dirt right now.
C's the one that's the dirt.
No, D is.
D's the one that's the dirt.
Yes.
And what are you saying about, okay, so I know where D is.
So C is the next one to the south.
Okay, and that's already grass and graves and everything.
Yep.
That's established.
Yep.
So what are you saying about the car's going to be able to go where?
Over on D section, so the very south side of D.
Is wider?
Is wider.
Like, so what you say, the first marker there, and said we see is maybe you got that road with lane feet.
Yeah.
What a new service there in there, they out of there, so they could actually go on that part.
The sad part is we almost need to asphalt just a little bit wider is what we need to do.
I agree, and we might see if we can do that on that.
That's always a problem trying to get around people out there.
Well, and it's not just, it's in Fairview.
It's every cemetery.
Redmond, all the cemeteries I visit on Memorial Day.
Drive through Spanish Fork, if you think every cemetery is that way.
Is it?
Drive through Spanish Fork or Springville or any of the major cities, they got plenty of room. It's these Boot Hill cemeteries.
Yeah.
I know Provo's is pretty tight.
I know over in Fairview it's tough to get around each other.
Yeah, it is. We can't solve that though, it's already done, that's the problem.
We got Salt Lake City here, we got them next, they're in the shed ready to go for when it starts storming. We're starting to get some of the plow stuff ready, hopefully by the next week we'll be plowed up and ready to rock and roll. Still got a few things we want to try to haul and a few things before we get all the dump trucks filled up. Pretty much it, just getting ready for winter, sucking up a lot of leaves and cleaning up and getting ready for the lighting ceremony this weekend. I miss anything, Lynn?
Okay, thanks.
The burn barrels this year?
Yep, they're really ready to go. So we're ready for Saturday.
So you're saying that you're cool.
Fire department.
It's you, Shane.
Oh, me?
You.
No sleeping, Shane.
They do on the north end is the water.
Oh, God. I'm so big. Just work.
First thing is, I was wondering if anybody's going to be going up to the annual UN meeting.
I thought about it, but probably not.
If not, I think I'll go because the first night when they got the banquet, that's when council is on the 14th.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think I'll come down for that council meeting because we got Michael Montico coming to kind of go over a benefit compensation study that he found out with the power department. And so he's going to kind of lay that out. So
kind of where we're sitting on that, or what we can do to keep guys here. So, also, we had our first kickoff meeting with the rate study today. They're asking for a lot of information, so we got to gather up that information for them. And the 21st, we're going to have another meeting to see what they come up after we provide that information, to kind of see where we're sitting on there for that that rate study. We're just wrapping up the last few of these services. We're only going to A, B, and C section out the Skyline, nowhere else. Right now, it's just too muddy. Working on the substation down here, the upgrade down there. And got all the metering squared away. So right now, just so you're aware, the way we have the system set up, power system is working pretty much from Second South. This way is off the old substation, and then to the south for Second South, that's off the Conway substation. So we got plenty of room to grow now, so we're set pretty good that way. The only issue we're facing now is just that we have hills. We're trying to get those issues resolved, and so. But yeah, we had a good turnout to Hotline School. Had some good classes down there. Everything's going good, so. Just kind of frustrated with leeway on times, and things are getting cleared out there. It kind of makes it difficult. But I think we'll be doing all right, so.
3 more years.
Yeah.
It won't be a while before anything gets better.
3 years, it might seem like 7 years.
Pass that one that way.
Hey, Shane, on that benefit study, I guess hindsight's 20/20. I wish we would have had the council would have a little opportunity to kind of chime in on that, of what the deliverable would be, and some parameters and things like that. So,
well, that's what we're looking for. We had it done to kind of see where we're sitting, and now we're going to, you guys are going to be kind of going through that.
But it's pretty much final, isn't it, at this point?
That's just their study.
That's just their study, that was one. But yeah, we haven't made any decisions.
But the study's final.
The study's final, yeah. So he's going to bring us the results, and then we're going to go from there and make a decision.
And basically all the study was just comparing to other cities.
That's exactly.
Well, right, but I don't think the council had a lot of input on why we chose those cities and what we're, I guess.
No, he just, yeah, we didn't have much, but I made sure we chose cities that were similar to us. Yeah. So we were staying competitive with those other cities. I mean, I don't expect us to be paying what Provo and Springville and all those guys. I know we can't do that. But I expect us to compete with Vail. And Fairview and Ethan didn't even do the study, which I was a little disappointed on that. And Manti, they didn't even want to even participate in the study.
So does this group only do like power, or do they do?
No, they do. Everything. I guess it could be office.
I guess that's my point. Maybe if the council would have known was pursuing that, we would have included maybe some other departments or something.
We included the office staff, and then at the time, the water department and that were cultures that he didn't want to participate in.
Okay.
For some reason, not all that stuff going on. So we did offer that. And then he said he could do it real easy for the water department and give them a bigger rate. So.
Well, we're anxious to see what they bring.
Yeah.
Okay, council reports. Justin.
So I don't have a lot. I think that we are getting closer to resolving the
issue with the park property. And I've been working on that, and I think hopefully we've found some resolve. It may take dedicating some land back to the city from the Groves. And then giving them a lease or something, just on that strip.
Where would that be?
It would be where the track is, and the train, and it won't take you the deep over line, it's just a strip where the old park.
Basically that last 25 feet.
So they can get it back and then lease or something?
Yeah, a concessionary agreement or something, so they can continue to do what they're doing. That way it makes that property free and clear of any encumbrance, and that's what's required for the grant. So, but we're feeling optimistic. I think Mont's had some discussion with them and explained the situation, what's at stake. So they're open to it. I know it seems a little, it seems like we did a lot of exercise for public hearing and everything to get that to them, and now, but it's short of going through a conversion, which could cost $100,000 to do that. This is probably the best option.
Could the soccer fields be used as part of that conversion?
Well, they could, but it's still a process to make that conversion. And talking with Susan at the state, she's like, they don't want you to convert, so they make it really difficult and expensive for you to do it. Because that's the whole point of this program, is
that would be adding,
is to conserve land and water. And so if you do a conversion, and she's telling me that if you do a conversion of that property that's been converted, the property that you exchange is never eligible for this grant again. So not part, but whatever you had is a conversion piece. So just weighing all the options, we just felt like this was probably the best course. And if it can't work out, then we can look at a conversion, but it's probably going to be cost prohibitive to do that. And so as far as we talked about having a kind of a master plan of the park, and we met. I haven't done much with that yet because I'm just trying to get through this issue first.
See what would come out of this issue first.
And then we can, once we get this behind us, then we can start looking at what we want to do out there. So.
That makes sense.
But things are looking up. It hasn't put a delay on it, but.
When do you know on the grant, or when do they do the grants?
She said if we can get it in the next 2 or 3 weeks, then it'll make the December deadline. And then if not, then it'll be like, then it'll be pushed off to until March. And then it will put us probably into 2023 of the spring, which isn't necessarily a terrible thing, but I was hoping we could get going on this spring.
Right.
But it might make sense to hold off if it gets too late. We don't want to have the park all tore up and stuff if we're putting new sprinklers and things in during the prime summer months.
So they have to dedicate that whole line, the whole railroad line.
Most of it.
Deed that back and then they should.
We talking about this 25 feet?
Yeah. About 25 feet and then even some a little bit more. I mean, originally the whole piece was with the depot and everything was under a option to lease with an option to buy, and then they wanted that additional 25 feet. I don't know that they necessarily want ownership of it, but they want to be able to run, you know, their business on it. And it may only be the thing is if we get the property cleared up and we can sign the document that says it's free and clear, then they're not going to care how the lease is working, because it She's almost said it's out of sight, out of mind. If I don't, I don't really want to know how we get it cleaned up, but just so we can say that it's cleaned up.
Well, as long as they'll create tax ramifications or whatever.
Yeah, so we're pretty hopeful that it will happen.
Okay. Okay, what do you have?
Maybe the only thing I got is this is a quote from the hardware store of for the hanging plants that we do down Main Street, move the pots, and I didn't have last year's number, but they've done us a really good job. But she needs to know right away if we want to approve. There are 52 pots at $70 a piece, which translates to $3,640.
It's about pretty close to what it was last year.
Yeah, it's
I know it's 3,000 something.
Real close to where
it was. Yeah, real close to where we've been. And then the other thing she would need to know is the colors. 2019, it was red, white, and blue. 2020, it was pink and purple. And 2021, it was red and blue. And we talked about what kind of plants, and I don't know, we typically use type that trail down, kind of.
Wheat petunias.
Huh?
Wheat petunias are gone.
Wheat petunias?
Wheat petunias.
Okay. Well, that was new to me, is what they call them. So. But that's, they're the ones that I, you know, they just show up a lot neater. I've been pleased with them.
I was going to say, I think she told me the white ones are bad because if they dye, they go so black and make them look. So in color-wise, that would be the thing I'd use her.
Yeah.
Kind of her recommendations, what would work the best. But that's what stuck in my mind.
Yeah, I wonder if adding some, even maybe adding some orange or yellow. She said that, you know, she thought that they can do that. It'd be different than what we've done in the past.
Right.
Add a little different color, wouldn't be bad.
And she's been pretty good to figure out which plants would work with.
Right.
So it might mean that you do a red-yellow type thing, or instead of a pink and purple. I don't know what goes with yellow. Black and yellow.
Yeah. Black, yellow, and orange.
But I think she can come up with some colors.
Orange, yellow, and blue.
Yeah.
Do what?
Orange, yellow, and blue.
Orange, yellow, and blue. Something like that. I'm not a color expert.
So. I'm not either, but I know that's
but I can suggest if she could make some yellow look good.
Yellow
and
yeah.
You know.
Try it.
Yeah. Should we try a little bit of yellow?
She
actually kind of thought it was might be a good idea too. So.
Awesome.
Well, I had like the top quite new tape last year. 2,793.87.
2,000? 793.87. About 900
plus different. Maybe the 3,000 was including the beds.
And stuff.
You know, the cemetery and the. I think that was probably including everything.
Cemetery and the library, flowers, those two beds.
Yeah, 3,000 was what was sticking in my mind, but it could maybe 27.
Maybe. So this might be a little more than it was last year.
They do, like you said, they've done a good job. So
everything's a little more right now.
Yeah, that's the truth.
The way it is.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. You're saying 2,000 for everything?
That's what I have. It's 2,793. I can look up the invoice and see if there were any on
that. That's $200 less than 3,000.
$73 or $700?
$700.
$793. So if we want to prove it, if we want to okay it, she needs to know so she can get them
ordered. Well, I'm good with it. Yeah. And we can just have them do it.
Do you need
money next time?
Yeah, you may. We're spending money. Do we have to?
Well, I think you can approve it. Go ahead with it, and then just on the next agenda for your approve the amount of money.
Yeah.
re-budget that much.
The requisition every year too.
Yeah, anything over $3,000.
And you did approve it basically when you did the budget, like Dave said.
Yeah, so it's all, that budget.
That's telling to go with it, it sounds like.
I'd say go ahead for it.
Okay, and then you want to add some yellow, then try and see what she can do with some yellow?
See what she can do.
Yellow and orange.
She'll come back with a suggestion and I'll add what she suggests on the next meeting.
Okay.
It's gonna be our last meeting.
Be a good way to go out.
Don't come out with that.
Do you have anything else?
I don't, well, just.
Celebration.
Celebrations this Saturday, and I think we're ready to go. As I understand it, we're blocking off down to the second?
Yeah, second west, and we're in the, this first west and first north, just have that blocked off so they can get down to the Presbyterian Church and stuff like that, so. And then we're gonna block off over here, we're gonna put the stage between the bar and the New City Hall. We're gonna just block it off so they can still park out back and stuff, so.
So it'll face south, the stage, or southeast?
It'd be east and west, I think, just right down the road, right there.
I wonder if it'd be better if we put it across this way, the sound would carry better for the whole street. That'd be the only thing I would say.
Yeah, wherever she wants, wherever we want it, no matter. I just did that for Natalie, so.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that where the choir and everybody's gonna?
Yeah, right there.
On the stage.
Now, where is JD going to be sitting at?
Wherever the stage is.
Oh, near the stage?
Yep, he's gonna be on the stage basically, so.
Who's that? The choir will all be down at the music conservatory.
JD's gonna be the.
And.
Okay. JD Fox.
So that's coming up Saturday. And we're gonna do some hayride. I'm gonna have a trailer and a tractor that's got flashing lights and everything, so I think we're gonna be safe.
And I know the street's going to be closed at 2, so you can start decorating things at 2. If anybody wanted to come help, see if they needed any help with setup.
Are we getting any help from volunteers on all of this?
Not a lot that I know of. Mostly if the admin building's been, and Brittany have been doing most of it.
So it'd be good to get here a little bit, like 2, is that what you're saying?
The street closes at 2. Natalie and Brittany will be starting at 10. I don't think you need to be here at 10, but at 2 to take stuff out and help set it up, I'm sure they could use help.
And we're just gonna be setting our trucks up here along 100 and then string the lights across. Down towards where these guys are sitting.
Just gives a light.
Yeah.
Who do we need to talk to make sure we get an announcement from the announcer for the program down here about the choir program over at the music conservatory?
Probably Natalie.
Probably Natalie.
Natalie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Natalie or Brittany.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Pass it.
Anything else with that? Russ, what do you have?
I don't have a whole lot. I guess I had another scrimmage over in Nephi. Parent went sideways over there in the ball game. But is it the third we're meeting?
30th.
30th?
Coaches meet 29th, and I think we're meeting the 30th.
So we got the code of conducts all taken care of and everything for them. But I didn't get up to see, I communicated with staff, I didn't get up to see Brittany. So that's all I got, just what's going on with them ball games and parents. And hopefully this will squelch it.
Hopefully, huh?
Yeah.
No. Probably not orange. Rondi, what do you have?
Well, from what I understand, we're applying for a CBG grant. CBD?
CDBG.
CDBG. Community Development Building Grant, maybe?
Block grant.
block grant.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're applying for this grant for, and the plan is to use some of that grant money for the roads in Aspen Village. But we don't know yet whether we're, be granted that money, if we'll be approved.
Usually you find out around February, March.
So we're still a couple months out on.
Right.
And so that's the plan for, preliminary plan for Aspen Village Road right now. And I'm wondering, and I should know this and I apologize, but have we done anything with the roads in Aspen Village just to?
They fixed them.
So you went through there with a blade?
Road based it.
Yeah, we will haul some gravel and then just take a load of it back, drag it.
Okay.
We've just been on no business.
And I should have got with you guys and found out. But that, and then we have to come up with a new road plan for this upcoming spring. I think we're going to have, maybe our priorities have changed a little bit with some of these new subdivisions. Maybe we have some more money available to use, so I'm going to have to put together some preliminary plans and present it to the council, and we'll just have to.
Did you hear Paul say that he's going down meeting with Coughlin next, in the next month?
I did, and that's to be able to use the 90 tons of product we already have.
Well, we could probably buy some more than mill it in too, so.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
So I think the question is, how much money do we want to spend? Do we want to add any more to this project? If we're going to be using that grant money for Aspen Village, you know, that's going to free up some other opportunities. If that does, in fact, is approved. So anyway, it's a fluid situation, and we're make sure we're ready to pull the trigger when the weather warms up. That's all I got as far as streets and roads.
Who chip sealed the road going south of the park there?
We do. County. It's a county road.
I thought it was up, I thought it was city up until about just past Shaw's place.
It's actually counties.
See, the
city's, and yet the city's been plowing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to, the city boundary shows that going, where's the city boundary there? I was thinking it was right there by the.
I don't think it's ever been extended that I know of. I think it's.
I'm glad they did it, but I'm surprised.
I
think the property wise is Ashworth is in the city boundaries.
Yeah.
Well, that's where they did the water line. I don't know where they did the easements. I don't know if it's actually been annexed.
I don't know for sure. I don't know. Talking about something else.
Sam, what do you have?
I don't have anything. It's been pretty quiet. So.
I haven't heard anything on the well. I know they're still working on it. I haven't heard anything on the irrigation system either. I know that last I heard the economist goofed up the deal and they had to send it back to him.
So
the NRCS retired economist.
You retired guy, you messed it up.
He duped it.
Yeah.
He messed it all up and they had to send it back to him to get it fixed.
Yes.
So, and there's only two of them in the United States to do it.
He should take his time on it.
So, yeah.
Oh, exactly.
And then,
subdivision, there's the water situation. If we're going to use culinary for all of this, and we got troubles right now, I've got some reservations with it, boy. I'll tell you, I just, in the water situation, you're going to have how many more homes? Because this irrigation system's 2 or 3 years out, at least.
Well, we'll come back and we'll have another opportunity to.
What I say is water. That's the only way we got, the only way we can hold it.
Well, we got to start developing the water. We're finding it now. We're just going to
But we get it developed and then if we use it for irrigation.
Well, if we don't use it for irrigation, we'll just keep going down the creek.
I'm wondering about, well, I'm wondering about the study, how much water's gonna have to go into these developments. What kind of water are we looking at?
There again, that's why you'd have an engineer that would run those studies.
Figures.
Well, I think maybe with bulk sand, it'd be nice to know that going in.
Yeah, because you can make an estimation, because it's, we're just getting our head above water right now.
I think we gotta get to where we start putting these new lots, like we're talking, that we gotta go in with an ordinance to
Dryscape
or Zeroscape or something, a lot more than what we got.
Big key.
To limit some of our irrigation uses.
Well, and then you got the other part of it too, so when the irrigation system comes in, we are gonna dig it down the middle of these new roads and put in an irrigation system for them?
Probably not. Well, there's no irrigation there now. Probably not.
I don't know, you know, that's...
You know, some communities require people to bring water rights with them when they do a subdivision too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're not really, we got a pretty good surplus of right, we just don't have the wet water.
Yeah, rights, there's no water.
Yep.
That's what, you can have all the rights you want, but if there ain't no water, there ain't no water.
It doesn't matter. That's why I worried about the cattle there this morning.
Hopefully between the two new wells, we'll have it under control.
I know it'll bring a lot of impact fee money into...
But that don't make water either.
No.
Snow. No, but it sure helps you get developed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the key. Because, yeah, we've got the water now we've got to spend the money to develop it. And you'll have a treatment plant too that's also bringing in more spring water. But the subdivision's probably 2 years out too.
Might be. First phase, at least a year.
I just want to make sure everything's done and done right and thinking of the future of this community. And so that it's done and it grows in the way that you want it to and I want it to.
Yeah, and I think...
Well, that's a concern I've always had.
Water in 1 day a week isn't... That's not acceptable.
No, that's what I say. If we're down to where you can't even grow a garden or anything else.
Yeah. The only other thing I had is... What day is the engineering deals proposals back due to us?
December...
Was it the 14th or the...
9th.
17th.
17th.
So on our wastewater deal, we put out the proposals to three engineering firms. So we'll need a couple city councilmen to probably help us as we open those proposals. So we can pick an engineering firm to do the wastewater plan.
I'd probably not better off be on that committee.
Yeah, it might not be the best, huh? That'd be a conflict.
I wouldn't want to. I'm just trying to figure out 600.
29th of November. Right meeting.
Yeah, Monday night.
Yeah.
With the coaches versus the parents. Anyway, that's all I have.
You need a motion?
Yep.
Adjourn.
Second it. Motion by Kevin, seconded by Sam to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Hey, don't just for maybe...
You need to sign these budgets still before you go.
If we develop 600 gallon minimum...